Sports Day for Kia. Introducing the all-new Kia Carnival, Australia's first GUV.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. Well, the Bulldogs in Melbourne remain undefeated after round five and continue to impress. Melbourne, of course, have the big challenge on Anzac Day Eve against the Tigers at the MCG. And hopefully, the Health Minister, Martin Foley, will get the comedians at the DHHHHS to get their act together more quickly than they have indicated in ticking off on the 100% capacity. Now, it could be as late as Friday, which gives everybody a couple of hours to get their act together. And if we're really good boys and girls, we may even get it ticked off on Thursday. But of course, it should have already been activated weeks ago, if not a month ago. Now, I'm not sure who's writing their lines, but continuing the embarrassing impost on the sports lovers of this state until the AFL have to prove their capacity to contact trace is nearly the joke of the year, given it took the DHHS 14 months and three lockdowns before they caught up to speed, we hope. In Sydney, they've had open stadiums for weeks, in fact over a month, yet we still wait for the comedians to have had a belly full of laughter at football fans' expense. Now that, folks, is an A-grade joke. But, as always, the game moves on and it's time to get stuck into the footy with Matthew Lloyd. But before that, let's welcome Scoop. And he's got the big news of the round with a blow to the Swans. Scoop?
Hello, Jared. Certainly is the big man, Buddy Franklin, fresh off his five goals, is going to miss up to a month of footy now with bone bruising.
Yeah, I saw the incident. Thought it was a PCL at the time.
Yep, which is what Hickey has got.
Probably a bit of PCL in it, but we'll go with bone bruising at this stage.
Yeah, so he's going to miss a month in what was sort of a bad fallout for the Swans. Yep. They were leading that game all the way through, and then they almost fell asleep in the last couple of stoppages. Josh Kelly, whose form has improved
indeed
since he's been pushed forward, yep, it must be said, kicking the winner. But obviously the spotlight of the weekend firmly at not only Icon Park, but also down at Moorabbin, Jared.
Yeah, the Saints have struggled along with the Blues. They're all struggling. But at the top of the ladder, we've got two sides undefeated. We've got the Demons and we've got the Dogs. And they're both playing fantastic footy. And I've got a question for Lordy when he joins us about selection at Melbourne, because they've got some challenges ahead.
Yes, and we do have one of their stars on. He's having a great year. Jake Lever's going to join us in about 15 minutes' time. But let's get to this man.
Lloydie, great to have you on board. Round five, just two sides now undefeated, two sides that most people wouldn't have predicted would be undefeated at this stage. Welcome to you.
Thanks, Jared. Thanks, Sam. It's amazing how quickly
just having a couple of microphone problems there.
There
he is.
There we go.
He's back.
It's amazing how quickly things can turn, Sam and Jared. So the Sydney Swans, 4-0, about to go 5-0.
Yep.
They lose one they should win. Then Buddy goes down.
Yep.
Tom Hickey, who'd been in great form, goes down off the back of Isaac Heaney, who went a few weeks ago.
And Rampy.
Rampy as well. So things can quickly turn. So you've got to bank your wins nice and early. So that was a bad loss for them over the weekend.
A great turnaround for the Giants, I must be said, the last couple of weeks.
Really strong turnaround. It's amazing, though, the opportunity. Kids have come in. You would have thought, oh, no, Canelio, De Boer, they go down. We've got to bring Mummy back. But things have turned around.
So let's break this down. We'll kick off on the Giants first. Do they bring back old players at the expense of these younger players? Because right now, to me, they're not going to charge on and win a flag. They may by some chance play finals footy. But they have got like Taylor. Now, Taylor had a big battle with Buddy Franklin. And I know Buddy kicked 5 out of 5, which is unusual for Buddy. But Taylor had about 15 intercept marks. I mean, he was a star and he's 21, this kid. Mm. I reckon it's time for them to have the full reset and go, we're playing the kids.
Yeah, they seem happy too. Yeah, just to see Josh Kelly with a smile on his face after the game and the fist pumps and all that. I'm just love seeing a team that's had players walk out on them all the time. They've had good success, but you always think, who's next? Leon Cameron's in trouble. It's just nice for them to have a great fortnight where kids have injected life back into this footy club. So when you ask, do we bring them back? If Stephen Canelio, he's out for a long time, he was available, you'd probably bring your captain back. Yep. But Matty De Boer,
they're gone past
that. Yeah, so I think Green has gone out of the team, Tom Green occasionally. He should never leave that side again. Just keep playing guys like that. But just on the Demons, it's just great to see. Mm. You know, someone I heard this morning saying, oh, but they got St Kilda when they were down and they got the Giants when they were down. You just keep beating who you're beating. And what a great situation they've got. They won games without Wiedemann and Brown, who they would have planned for.
Yep.
Fritch went out. May goes out. Mm. They keep winning. And now they've got great selection headaches.
So who do you bring back in, Lord? Do you find a spot for Wiedemann?
Yeah, kick seven, and I think he's Jared's shaking his head.
But I already know Jared's answer. I want to know your answer.
I would play Wiedemann over Brown.
But what about Fritsch?
Is that Fritsch, when he's available, he walks back in with his form.
Okay, so let's say Fritsch is available this week. So he comes in for Brown. Yes. Do you find another spot for Wiedemann?
So then it's on how Wiedemann performs.
Wiedemann, he kicks seven. Yes. But there's no spot. I mean, surely you've got to have integrity of selection. Mm. Mm. Fritsch comes back because Fritsch has been there.
Brown got in because Fritsch got injured. Okay, yep. So that's why Brown plays. And I think, so Fritsch went out with a hand on the weekend.
Yeah.
So Mitch Brown comes in.
I'm talking about Ben Brown.
Oh, sorry, no, Brown doesn't play.
No, okay.
I'm saying Mitch Brown got his chance. Yep. So I'm replacing Mitch Brown.
With Fritsch?
With Wiedemann this week.
With Wiedemann.
Because Fritsch is not available till the week after.
Okay.
Because he's out for 2 weeks, Jared.
I don't.
So I then would be thinking that Wiedemann would want to perform well to hold his spot to keep Fritsch out the week after.
It's a real challenge because, I mean, they've almost committed to Ben Brown, not thinking that Tom McDonald was going to do what he did. And Tom McDonald was a star on the weekend. He looks like he's found his mojo. Yeah. Now, you've got to be careful to interrupt the chemistry, and even Brown on the weekend. He, you know, when the whips were cracking, he was doing the cracking. Yeah.
It's an amazing turn of events. Since the end of last year,
yeah.
I mean, Tom McDonald didn't have a home. They were going to pay part of his salary to play somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Clayton Oliver was having meetings with opposition coaches. He's now re-signed. Tom McDonald's playing great footy. They're 5 from 5. It's happy days.
When you know you're going well is when your stars like Max Gawn is just the best in the game at the moment. Clayton Oliver is playing brilliant football. Yep. Christian Petrarca is playing amazing football. Jake Lever, who we're going to talk to soon, is back to this form of when he was at the Adelaide Crows and starring.
Bit of help from Tomlinson. Yeah.
Christian Salem is having an awesome year. So, and then Langdon kicks three from a wing. So
Doesn't he look a much better player with his kicking hitting targets?
No doubt.
Can we look at the opposite, Lloydie, and talk us through the Blues and the Saints? Who do you want to talk about first and where is it going wrong?
Well, I'll start with Carlton. I think that their next month doesn't get any easier. So it's Brisbane at Marvel, then Essendon, but then the Western Bulldogs in Melbourne. So three, you know, they could play three top four sides by the end of the, in terms of what it may be at the end of the year in Brisbane, the Western Bulldogs in Melbourne. Port beat them in a big game, big statement game with two big outs, Butters and Dersma. Butters and Dersma not playing.
Yeah, that's right.
So.
And they lose Houston during the game.
Yeah, got beaten for work rate, the Blues. Got beaten for system, got beaten for ball use. And I look at their midfield. So Walsh gets 29 disposals. He's a star. Cripps is trying hard. Yes, he could give more handballs and be more of a team player. He had 27. Then it drops to Zach Williams with 22.
Yep.
Then it falls to Curno and Gibbons. So it's a big, big drop.
Well, their midfield's been skinny for a long time. Yeah. They know it. They've tried to fix it, but they haven't fixed it. And even Zach Williams, I think, will end up across the half-back flank.
Yeah. Yep.
For the Blues, because that's his best spot. Yep. Even his ability to hit targets inside the forward 50 has improved what a genuine A-grade midfielder, an $800,000 midfielder. They hit targets.
That's right.
I mean, Fremantle, have a look. Mundy, one of the greatest kicks I've ever seen, hits targets. Sarong hits targets. He's 20 years of age. Brayshaw hits targets, and so too does Chera.
Yeah.
They've got five gun kicks in their middle. And people say that the system didn't work. No system works if you keep chopping the ball up.
Do Carlton have an elite kick?
Yeah, the best kick's probably Saad.
And so just on that, they have looked fumbly and nervous. To sum up Carlton, to me, they look like Doherty. He's going dropping marks.
Yeah.
They're panicking. Liam Jones, he's had a good season, but on the weekend, Wiedering turned his back on the play. Next minute, they chip a ball over to his man. They just don't seem on, They just seem well off in most areas of the game.
Would you move Doherty into the middle and put Williams on the back flank? Because their D50 to F50 movement is horrible at the present time. So if the first kick hits the target, then you're a chance.
They were ecstatic over the break with the clearances of Williams.
Yep. Yep.
And also he was kicking a few goals, whereas that just hasn't been happening with the way they've been playing, Sam. And I watched St Kilda against Richmond and Brett Ratten was lost for answers. The players were lost for answers. This was a Richmond team who squeezed them. So every time they got the ball, it was every Richmond player was in a third of the ground trying to force. And they weren't willing to spread. They weren't willing to switch. They weren't willing to be bold.
So what are your answers though, Lloydie? I mean, this is a team that turned over a 6-goal deficit to the West Coast Eagles. This is a team that not long ago played in a final and pushed Richmond all the way.
But I'll say they've played 2 quarters in 12. They were an embarrassment against Essendon for four quarters.
You had some staggering statistics before, Jared, that you were telling me off air about their form apart from that
second
half against West Coast.
If you take away their form outside of the West Coast second half, I mean, they're down about 30 goals on the opposition. They're down about 150-odd points from turnovers. I mean, they're a mess at the present time outside of that 2 weeks.
And
they've got a lot of good players out. So I think what it's showing is that they're fragile. I mean, their best side is probably going to come back and be good at some stage this year, but they haven't been able to sustain any sort of performance without their absolute best side in.
Got taught an absolute lesson. So I think, again, Richmond were too fit for them, too hard for them.
Yeah.
So anyone can get up for two quarters. You know, you get a bit of adrenaline and everyone gets manic for two quarters, but then you start again the next week. And that's what I love about Richmond. Mm. They lost to Port Adelaide the week before, but that was as good as a final. And they brought it to St Kilda. St Kilda couldn't handle it. So the Dogs aren't playing a bad quarter. Melbourne were ordinary for a half, but still they held in the game. So Port Adelaide are elite. So they're just a mile off the Saints.
Don't forget APCO, where you can get fresh food and award-winning barista-made coffee 24/7. The Demons, we said it last week, we spoke to Simon Goodwin. They're the story of the year at the moment, and one of their star defenders, Jake Lever, is going to join us live next on Sports Day.
He's going to come in and kick from just beyond the 50. It is on its way. Max Gawn, what a kick, a ball burster. Huge goal from Max Gawn. Five in a row. To start the season for Melbourne, they duff the Hawks 15-14-104, Hawthorn 8-6-54. It's a high
fly. Yes, welcome back to Sports Day. We've heard that song a fair bit already in 2021. Five games, five wins, and you know, we're all talking about the Gawns and the Olivers and the Petrarchas and the Brayshaws, Jared, but the defenders. Oh, Lloydie's trying to get in on the credit. Jake Lever's been having a starring season so far, and he joins us live. Jake, welcome, and we'll give you your due credit as a defender on this show.
Thanks, mate. I really appreciate that. The defenders, I think when you go down to the back line, you know that you're not going to get too much credit, but it's a bit of a selfless role, but I'm glad you're giving a little bit of credit to the defenders. Love it.
Always get the credit on this particular program, Jake, particularly when we've got a defender on, but outside of that, they get nothing. moving on, you lost a big defender, Stephen May, for the week, and yet you seem to cover off that pretty seamlessly, which is really good news. Hibbert came in and did a good job, but really bad news at some stage because he comes back in, somebody's going to go out.
Yeah, I think that it's always a challenge with that. I guess as you said, it was great to be able to when Big Stevie went out. I think that we already had a pretty made fit replacement in terms of Harrison Petty. I think that he was quite ready for 3 or 4 weeks in the VFL, been performing really, really strongly, and come in and played his role on the weekend. But obviously, Stevie's probably top. Three defenders, key defenders in the competition. So obviously he's going to come back in when he's fit. And I think that if he ticks off most of his concussion protocols, I think that he'll play. But if you see that, the replacement stuff, it's great to be able to just replace him and then get someone straight back in.
Tom Lynch is a big listener to the program and he'd be very keen to know whether Stephen May is playing.
I won't tell Tommy, that's for sure. I know that Steve wouldn't want me to tell him, but I think that his eye stuff, I think, is travelling really well. Mm. When I first saw him when he walked in about 2 days later to the club, you literally couldn't see his eyeball, I saw him today and he looked really well, and his eye, the swelling in the eye has gone down, and obviously with the concussion protocol, I think he's been passing that with flying colours, which is great. And if we get to welcome him back either this week or next week, we're really looking forward to it.
Jake, the Hawks got within 4 points at the start of the last quarter when they kick a goal. Then you go on and win by 50 points. Is it nice that you're winning in a number of different ways? So some teams you can blow a team away early, but yesterday you had to do it the hard way. Are they just as rewarding, those type of wins?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that going into the game, we knew that Hawthorn was sitting 1-3, but the record actually wasn't showing the way that they've been playing. I think they were really close in nearly all games that they lost. So we knew that it was going to be a little bit of a grind. We knew that they wanted to play fast. They want to play exciting footy. So there was going to be opportunity for us defensively. And in a way, I don't really think we took that opportunity in probably the first three quarters. I definitely think that we were able to defend really well. And I think after the first quarter, I think they scored 27 points in the first quarter. And then for the last three quarters, they again only scored 27. So we were able to hold them up defensively, but we weren't able to really, you know, finish them off, especially in that first three quarters. But in the last quarter, I think you would have seen we scored a lot from turnover and a lot from our forward 50 pressure, which has been a little bit of a hallmark of our games, especially in those first four games. So it was great to be able to get that reward. And then, as you said, looking up at the scoreboard after the game, I think it didn't really paint the picture in terms of the way that Hawthorn played, because I thought they were great in the first three quarters, but it is very rewarding, and it was great to look up at the scoreboard after the game.
Jake, Max Gawn, to me, is playing even better footy than I've seen him play, because I thought in past years he's been a behind-the-ball ruckman a lot, and I'm now seeing him go forward and have a much more presence in the forward line, starting to kick a few more goals. I thought that goal he kicked was the game-changer, really, when he kicked it from outside 50, but his running capacity, where would he sit amongst Melbourne players in terms of a 2K or the time trial that you do? Is he right up there with the smaller mids?
Oh, look, I think that it's probably a little bit different. I think that game style running, in terms of the way that he's able to, as you said, I think the probably, if you're talking about pure running, he's probably mid-pack in terms of time trial, and I'm sure that he wouldn't mind me saying that. But in terms of game running, I think that Max has been someone that's played 90% of ruck for the past 5-6 years since he's been the only ruckman, and the emergence of Luke Jackson to be able to then, as you said, help him out in the ruck. And we don't lose anything when Jacko goes in the ruck. And then the ability for Max then to go forward, which he didn't really have the ability to, because we didn't have a second ruckman previous years that was able to do what Jacko's been able to do. It's been amazing. And as you said, I think that, you know, myself and Steve and all the other backline players, we really appreciate when Big Maxi comes back and helps us. But I can tell you right now, when I've got the ball in the centre circle and I kick down long into the forward 50, I'm much rather in there, that's for sure.
You're listening to the voice of Melbourne star Jake Lever on Sports Day with Jared Healy and Matthew Lloyd. Hey, Jake, the term selflessness has been used quite a lot by Melbourne players and coaches in interviews this year. I can only gauge from that there was some selfishness previously. Was that one of the things holding this talented group back?
Oh, look, I think selfishness is a really harsh word. I think it was more on the fact that, you know, I speak about this a lot, and I think the club has it. It was more, you know, as an individual, say, for instance, I think that in games, sometimes bigger players and you know, you think that you might have to be the saviour of every game. And you talk about, it's very similar, you talk about the likes of Max Gawn, Christian Petrarca, Jack Viney. These guys have had to hold up the footy club in previous years for nearly every game, and they have to come and they have to be the saviour. And I think that the selfishness kind of come from that, in terms of thinking that you have to be the one to, you know, win the ball 3 or 4 times to be able to score. But I think that what it's become is role-playing is one, just allowing everyone to play their role. But actually, you know, you talk about Christian Petrarca, Clayton Oliver, Jack Viney, Angus Brayshaw, these type of guys, they're big names, but at the minute, you can see that they're enjoying each other's successes when it comes. And I think that's where the selflessness comes from. I think the selfishness that you talk about was purely based on the fact for wanting to do the team thing, but it really wasn't working like that. It was going in the opposite direction. It was going away from your role, trying to think that you have to be the one to win the contested possession, or take this, you know, for Maxi, go back, take this big mark. Or is it now, in terms of being selfless, is it just killing the ball and spoiling over line? So I think that's where it's come from. And I've seen strides, massive strides in that, in terms of the midfield and the forward stuff. And I think as a defender, you're naturally pretty selfless because you rely on each other so much.
That's fascinating stuff, Jared.
Yes, and I'd like to ask you about your own form, Jake, because you struggled early when you came to Melbourne. You had a knee injury as well, which didn't help anything. But right now, having a look at the defenders, the general defenders in the competition, after a couple of people were pushing up for Alir Alir to be nominated in the All-Australian side, I went to Champion Data and asked them for the rating, and there's about 8 of you all in the one area, about the same rating that Alir is, and you're back to your very best. There's Barris over in Western Australia. There's Luke Ryan over in Western Australia. Rampy, until he got injured, was there. It's great. I feel you must be relieved that you're back to your very best.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, as you said, I had a little bit of trouble in 2018, especially at the start. And I sort of got going and then unfortunately hurt my knee. And then 2019, I was battling just to get up each week and felt like, you know, you talk about the selfishness. I felt like that was a little bit of that, trying to think that I had to get up each week with multiple niggles and everything like that. And last year, I speak about this a little bit. I thought I had, you know, quite a good year in terms of, you know, role playing and thought that if you think that, you know, a player that comes in and plays his role, I was definitely trusted in that. But I knew that I had a lot more to give. And this pre-season and the off-season, I thought to myself that if you look at the best defenders in the competition, you talk about your Darcy Moores, your Stephen Mays, Jerry McGovern, they're all very aggressive and attacking sort of players, and they trust themselves to beat their forwards, and they don't just sort of rely on you spoiling over the line, and they really rely on winning one-on-ones and taking the game on from there. And I watched a little bit of vision of those guys and sort of took a little bit of their sort of knowledge and a little bit of their game style out and really tried to just focus on being more aggressive player. And I think that at the minute it's working, and you know, there's always been a little bit of a knock on me that my one-on-one defending might not be at the level, but I think that this year I've really change that perception, and I think that, yeah, everyone down the back line trusts me to do my job, and I think it's just about being more aggressive, and I've thoroughly enjoyed being in the back line this year, because the forwards and the mids at the minute, they're making our job a lot easier, and it doesn't go unnoticed during the week at the footy club.
Well, numerically, you're right back to your best and in the hunt again for another All-Australian.
We probably can't ask Jake to put on his team selection cap, can we? That's probably a little bit unfair.
No, you're the journalist, Scoop. So ask away.
We can't go in the front door. We might try to go in the side door. Jake, who would you least like to play on in match sim? Would it be Ben Brown or Sam Wiedemann or Bailey Fritsch or Tom McDonald?
Me personally, it's Bailey Fritsch, because I have to play on him all the bloody time.
Okay, and so every he's time in.
He's in. Okay, who's so next?
Who's next on that list?
Look, I think that Tommy Mack has surprised me, to be totally honest. I think that for someone that last year, you look at his year, and to be honest, he was bitterly disappointed with his own form, and you didn't really know if he was going to get his confidence back to be able to come back and play. But by God, I thought he was unbelievable on the weekend. He was amazing at attacking the ball. And you've seen that, I reckon in previous weeks, he's been really launching at the ball and he gets his hands to it. And you know, a defender comes across and might just get a fingertip in or something like that. But on the weekend, he was really sticky. So I think that the forward line at the minute, as much as, you know, probably Big Sammy and Big Benny Brown don't want to hear it, it's functioning really well. And I think that's probably what you saw with Michael Hibbert as well. He's a guy that you look at and you go, okay, he walks straight back into the side once he's done 1 or 2 weeks in the VFL. But unfortunately, he had to do 4 or 5 weeks in the VFL, build up his form. And then you see him come in on the weekend and just fit in seamlessly. You know, you talk about a guy, Neville Jetta, unfortunately was the guy that missed out, because they wanted to get Hibbo in, because for 4 or 5 weeks, he was the best player in the VFL week after week. So I think that the way that the forward line's functioning at the minute, it's obviously going to be hard to fit Sammy and Ben in, but if it means that then in 3 or 4 weeks' time that they come in like Michael Hibbert did on the weekend, then I'll be happy.
All right, you heard it here first. No room for Ben
no
Brown.
No changes.
No room for Sam Wiedemann. That's how good the D's are going. Jake, great to have you on. You've made an outstanding start to the year, as have so many of your teammates. Good luck for the rest of it.
Thank you very much, guys.
Jake Lever there, the Melbourne defender, I think basically agreeing with you, Jared. Hard to find spots.
Well, I just don't think there's any reason for change. If Fritsch is available, he's in, and Brown may go out for Fritsch. But right now, Tom McDonald's got that spot, and he may continue to get better.
Matthew Lloyd is here for McDonald's. You can try the new McSpicy and Palmy Burger. Plenty more coming up on Sports Day, including, I want to ask both of you, what should be the sanction for the two Collingwood players who use their phone on the weekend? I think we're going to have differing views. That's coming up on Sports Day.
Time for a Sports Day news update for Tyre Power. Selected Kumho tyres. Buy three, get one free.
Welcome back to Sports Day. I love how this has become a headline a week after Matthew Richardson told us there could be another Rioli bound for the AFL in coming weeks.
He was strong on that last week,
Morris Rioli Jr. closing in on a shock senior debut. Well, it's not a shock if you've been listening to Sports Day. After an impressive start to his career at Punt Road, Jeremy Cameron's going to play his first game for the Cats against the Eagles this week. And European football has threatened to ban any clubs that join a breakaway competition after the spectre of European Super League re-emerged. This is actually quite a phenomenal story. The Premier League's Big Six, United, Liverpool, City, Chelsea, Arsenal and Tottenham have signed up to the plans, according to the statement from all of the clubs.
So they're in Super League.
Soccer is honestly at war tonight. It's quite a phenomenal story. They're breaking away from the Champions League. And they're going to create their own little Super League, of which you cannot get relegated from. It's quite extraordinary, and it is very, very greedy.
Is that because Manchester United is about to be relegated?
No. Manchester United are...
They're going okay?
Yep, they're going.
So what's the cause? Fine. Is it just the...
It's money. It's absolutely money. They're all going to get $300 million each, and they're going to play in their own private league on a Wednesday night.
Right.
And then they wander back on Saturday, and Chelsea play Brighton... And Chelsea, you've got $300 million extra to spend on big players. I mean, it's completely ridiculous.
And it's sad because isn't the Champion League, wasn't that the number one prize in football?
Yeah, and it still is. Mm. I mean, we're down to the semi-finals, of which, by the way, Manchester City and Chelsea are both in. I think it's very, very sad. And I don't think this is over.
Speaking of which, can you believe how bad the victory have become?
Can I believe it?
They've gone from not top quite. Of the totem pole.
To 7-0
I used to go all the time, and I was there the day Archie kicked 5 in a grand final.
I was there as well at Etihad Stadium.
They won 7-0 or something like that against Adelaide. It was a huge ticket, the biggest ticket. They were just getting bigger and bigger, and now since Muskie left, they've just had no presence as a club at all.
Is your chance to come back, Muskie? He's without a job at the moment.
Well, you've been basically acting as his sole manager for the last 5 years, so if you can't get him back, no one can.
No, he's been over in the... We got him a job over in the UK. But,
we did.
But we're looking for another job here.
More with Matthew Lloyd shortly. Welcome back to Sports Day. Jared Healy and Matthew Lloyd, Sam McClure with you. Coming up to the build-up of Anzac Day, Collingwood and Essendon. And the build-up will be a strange one. And one of those reasons is that Collingwood have strangely, Jared and Lloydie, found themselves in a mobile phones fiasco. And that is, the AFL have asked for a please explain as to why Jordan Dugowie and Jeremy Howe, both in the rooms, both injured, were using their phones. Lloydie, should there be a sanction? And if so, what?
Well, I think we have to take it seriously because, you know, as Damien Barrett has spoken about, they had a player in the last few years who's actually bet on themselves in a game of football,
Jaden Stevenson.
So that's where the integrity is. And the players know the rules. You put your phone away, a box should be locked up, and you get your phone after the game to stop any of that. And the only people that have phones, there's a list. It might be your footy manager. There might be a list of 10 people.
Yeah, each club gets 10. That's right. And players can't be part
of that. So they should know that. And that's why I think that what the sanction is, I don't know, but it needs to be there that it never happens again.
Surely just a suspended fine. I mean, they're both just texting.
I'd want to know the details, but I reckon Dugowie would be going to the hospital, so he may have been grabbing his to go to the hospital.
Yep.
The other bloke, Jeremy Howe, I suspect, I mean, he's looked really bad. Like, it looked like a lot of people say a knee injury, even though he grabbed his hamstring, but he might have been wanting to tweet it or text his parents or text his wife or whatever.
I think that's what he was
doing. And I take your point, Lloydie. I mean, all of that aside, there is a strong rule there. Yes. But I think under those circumstances, I'd give a suspended fine. And I know there's a lot of people don't think suspended fines are worth their weight in water. And I'm one of those most of the time. But I think this one was a little bit different around the edges.
Whatever it is, Sam, everyone in the football world should know, okay, I'm making sure I don't do that again. Well, that's whatever the AFL needs. Why don't you agree, Sam?
The problem is, Lloydie, I take your point and I agree with a lot of it, but the AFL integrity unit picks and chooses what it does and how hard they come down on people. I mean, you know, the Adelaide Crows were training on a golf course when no one else was allowed to train and they got suspended fines and people were talking about taking points off. And two guys have picked up their phones and we're talking about giving them $10,000 fines. I mean, to me, it just doesn't add up.
So what happened to Leon Cameron when his phone was in the box? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did anything come of that?
I think he was asked to
please explain
to the AFL, but I don't think anything came further of that.
So that's the problem. If we do nothing and we keep doing the wet lettuce leads, and I know the real rules.
Yeah, but Audie, you're talking, I mean, what Stevenson did was documented. I mean, he bet on AFL games. We know that.
So that's what we want to do, Sam. We want to dismiss that and have none of those temptations. That's why we have these rules. So no point having rules in place and we do nothing about it. That's why, I'm not sure why the box was open. I know at other clubs I heard,
It probably shouldn't have been open. That's a fair point. It should have been.
But if he's going to the hospital, he's entitled to take his phone, isn't he?
Yep.
We need a little bit more information. Next Monday, Lordy, we'll get you to bring down your final verdict.
I was just about to ask both of you if either of you access phones while playing, and then I realised that Jared wouldn't have had mobile phones. And Lordy,
I can't go that far. There were mobile phones when I was playing.
What?
Yeah.
When?
Well, in the '80s, there was mobile phones.
What, is it a brick? You had to connect to the wall.
No, but it's actually part of history how Jeff Edelston actually got the job or got the license that he took this suitcase in, which was people are sitting around the table not knowing what the hell was in this suitcase.
It's like a Get Smart phone,
but it was a phone. It was one of the first official mobile phones, and it created such intrigue among those who were giving it. They thought, oh, this guy must be sharp. Anyway, mobile phones existed in the 80s, Scoop. They were a little bit more bricky than they are at the present time.
And, Lordy, it was a couple of weeks ago on this show that you flagged that you wanted to see Darcy Moore go forward. Mm. Now, it took a while.
Yep.
They got there. Mm. Would you stick with him forward no matter what for the rest of the year?
I'm not saying for the rest of the year, but I'd like them to stick with it on Anzac Day. So they lose Howe, so the temptation would be to push him back. But when you're
Keane.
When you're 1-4, go all in. And say, okay, Darcy, you've got Aaron Francis. Ridley's not playing. He's hurt his hamstring. Mm-hmm. I reckon you can rip the Bombers apart on Anzac Day and we can make do with our defenders. Yeah, we just got to take care of Cale Hooker. And I'm not sure there's too many others that can hurt us in the air. So
which
I'd
be
go,
probably rough head on Hooker,
won't
it?
Yeah. So, and then let Darcy loose on Anzac Day. So,
let Darcy loose.
Yeah, and I'd just say one indictment on this game. It's the first time I'm more excited about the Saturday night.
Mm.
Richmond and Melbourne, probably a bigger crowd potentially than Anzac Day on Sunday because of the situation of the game. 1-4. It's probably the worst position these two clubs have been in.
Who do you think might win that game on the Saturday night?
The Tigers. Yep.
Comfortably?
Not comfortably. Mm-hmm. I think they'll be in it, but I think they love wet statement games, and I think they'll be too good for the Demons.
You like the Demons, don't you?
No.
I'm just getting a sense.
I think they're playing fantastic footy. I thought that a couple of weeks ago. Everybody's saying they haven't proven anything. Well, I mean, every week is a trial, and this is a great trial for them.
Lordy, what's on Classified tonight?
We'll be talking Saints, Demons, and Hutchie is taking over Caro's Arrow tonight. And it's going to be very, very interesting.
Yes.
Mm. Where is it heading? What direction?
Victoria Park.
Thanks, Lordy. Welcome back to Sports Day. Lordy's just gone. Gee, he was strong tonight. A little bit touchy about the Blues, and I mean, his brother is the head of footy there. I didn't want to go too hard.
Well, you've been touchy about the Blues since I've known you.
I've been touchy about it.
Which is difficult.
I've been touchy about them.
They've been down for a long time.
Let's get someone who's always up, and that's Maggie Payne from Country Racing. We're back racing strong. Visit countryracing.com, and we're only 2 weeks out from the Bull, Maggie.
Yeah, it's come around pretty quick, Sam. Where the weather's certainly cooling off, and that means the Bull's just around the corner. So the club released the second batch of tickets that are available, but I think they're going to sell out pretty quick, so in a couple of days, and they'll all be gone. But so jump on the website and buy a ticket to the Bull.
Yeah, all roads lead to the Bull for yesterday's Terrain Cup winner, Wentwood, with Damien Lane aboard, trained by Matty Raymond as well. Used to be Darren Weir's foreman. Thanks, Maggie. Maggie Payne there from Country Racing. Visit countryracing.com. That does us for the hour.
And Maggie didn't even mention Port Adelaide. That was very generous of her.
Well, I decided...
You edited it, did you?
I told her before coming on we wouldn't be talking about Carlton or Port Adelaide.
Have you got a favourite for the Bull?
I haven't looked.
Okay. Well, I've
been off horse racing since Dosh. It's coming up to 7 o'clock. Looking forward to the couch tonight. Footy Classifieds on later as well. You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy. Most satisfied customers 11 years in a row. That's Red Energy. And for Wilson Homes, they believe in great design, so you love Beam Home. We're going to talk. It's a big hour coming up. Jared, we're going to speak to Craig Starcevich, the, of course, now premiership winning coach at the Brisbane Lions.
Yes.
Yep. AFLW Grand Final was absolutely sensational.
And it was a great exercise in persistence by Craig after his... It had two losses, and then his side got decimated a couple of times along the way. He's had to rebuild a couple of times, and he's finally rebuilt.
Didn't feel like they were going to get there, did it?
Exactly right.
We're also going to speak to Hattie Taylor, retired Cats great. Did his own little lap of Canadian Park. Did you watch that on the weekend?
I didn't, Scoop. I was actually busy doing another game of footy. I was watching...
Of course you were.
Fremantle.
Yes.
Take it up to the Crows. Pretty good win by the Fremantle Dockers.
It was. They've got some exciting players, the Dockers.
Yep.
Makes that loss to Carlton, Jared, look pretty average, doesn't it?
Given well, they've had two stinkers away from home, and they finally had to put it together. I mean, if they're going to mature and become a final side...
Who was the first one?
The first one was against the Demons at the MCG.
Oh, that's right, round one.
Yeah.
Yep, they were very poor that day, particularly going inside 50, although they did have a few injuries, didn't they? In fact, they still have. The wrap-up from round five. So Brisbane wins its first AFLW premierships. The Dogs are 5-0, or 5-0, I should say, in your company.
Along with Melbourne.
Melbourne are 5-0.
Yep.
The Blues, no match for Port Adelaide. And the Bombers were pretty putrid against the Lions in the West. Friday night, if we want to go back that far, Darcy Moore went forward, looked really good. They were far and beyond the better team halfway through the second quarter, Collingwood. They ended up running out of players.
No, they didn't.
Well, they did.
No. West Coast had fought back well before they lost the players.
They were still in the game. They were still in the game of the Pies.
Yeah, no, the Pies were still in the game. No question about that. But it's flipped on its head at quarter time.
And the Eagles and have got their own injuries.
And that's the issue with the Darcy Moore move, because it looked okay. And whilst the midfield was winning, you weren't being exposed in the back line.
And then Howe goes down.
Well, even before Howe went down, they were being exposed because the Eagles' midfield actually lifted. And they needed to lift. I mean, Andrew Gaff was horrible at quarter time, and yet he probably ended up one of the best on the ground. Dom Shee was okay, ended up one of the best players on the ground, 3 goals in the third quarter. Thought it was an inspired move to tag for the first time through the middle of the ground. Nelson going on the side bottom.
Yep.
And Redden had a game. So they've got a thin midfield, but they found a way to get on top. And then as soon as they got on top, it actually made the most clever move of the weekend look even more clever. And that was Vardy going in.
Yeah.
Everybody criticised Vardy's selection. You're too tall. Very strong criticism, evenly in the West, about Vardy going into the side.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Vardy going into the side, Scoop, means that Oscar Allen can stay in the forward line.
I see.
As opposed to being the second ruck. It also means that Nick Natanui can play 70% instead of 100% or have more minutes resting because they don't really want to ruck Oscar Allen as much as they do. So this was proven to be a masterstroke by Adam Simpson, who, whilst all the talk was about Nathan Buckley's positional moves, the winner on the night was Adam Simpson, by a long stretch.
Well surmised. I know that we spent a fair bit of time with Lordie talking about the Blues, but can I just ask you to expand a little bit more on the Saints, Jared, and where you think they're at right now? Because I feel like looking at their list, I know there's a lot of criticism for them going back to the well and topping up. I still like what they've done with their list.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's okay what they've done with their list. If you have a win, and if you actually are justifying what they've done with their list on the ladder, now that
can I just ask you how they picked four inside mids in Ross, Bytel, Steele, and Crouch, and they got murdered in clearances by a team that's not famous for it. In fact, by a team that's quite poor at them deliberately.
It was amazing for 35 minutes, quarter two 18 minutes to quarter three 35 minutes. The clearances, Scoop, and well picked up by you, was St Kilda 1, Richmond 21.
That is astronomical.
I don't think we've ever seen a differential like that for that sort of period. And just
they had 11 inside 50s in the second half, Jared.
Yep. And if you look at it, it's all about scoring. Tigers scored 39 points from stoppages in that period. And that was probably more than the Saints scored in total. I mean, the Saints have just become easy to beat, because if you stop that out the back goal, they are struggling to find another way to score if Max King doesn't mark it and then kick goals. And he's a bit nervous at the moment in front of goals.
I was watching that game, Jared, and as Richmond continued to kick away in the last quarter and the margin got quite yuck, I thought to myself, it wasn't that long ago that these two sides played in a pretty good final.
Yep.
And the Saints, for all intents and purposes, were well in that game deep into the last quarter.
And this is where it's hard to work out where they're actually at, because they have got a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
But the injuries don't excuse a lack of effort. And that's, I think, again, what we're dealing with 2 weeks out of three. Last week, they produced the effort after halftime. But I'll just give you the Saints numbers for the last 4 weeks, excluding the second half against West Coast.
Okay. Yep.
Scoreboard, minus 207 points. So that's minus 30 goals.
So this is 4 weeks minus two quarters.
That's
three
right.
And a half games.
Yep.
Wow.
Turnovers, minus 149 points. So what's that? 25-odd goals. Opposition score per inside 50, minus 58% in a differential. And the pressure rating is minus 172. So they are really spinning out of control right now, and they need to do something about it.
Can you put your finger on why? I mean, take injuries out of it.
Well, their game was built around
something they're doing
ball movement and stoppage, and they're just getting flogged in that area now. You can put your finger down and you can put your hand up and say it's all about the ruckman, but you and I both know that the ruckman don't have that big an impact on clearance. They may have a small impact, but they don't have that big an impact. But I think the only bloke who's playing well for them at the present time is Howard at fullback, who's having a really good year.
And
he's getting plenty of work.
The captain's been pretty
Jack Steele's been good too.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure how Jack specifically went on the weekend, but
he was all right.
I'll tell you the bloke who is going under the radar. There's a few going under the radar.
Go on.
Braden Maynard.
Oh, yeah.
Having a really good year. Jack Darling, well, he was on him for most of the night, and Jack Darling had a good night. But he was involved in 7 one-on-one contests versus Darling. He won 5 and lost 2. And right now, he's won 11 intercept possessions for the year. He's the number one rated player for Collingwood. Number one.
He probably plays on who on Anzac Day? Jared Stringer?
Probably.
Stringer sort of looms as Essendon's most dangerous forward right now. And he's the right size for Maynard.
Yep, that's a good matchup. I like it. So he's blossoming. He's a good news story for the Pies.
Yeah, and they had a crack. Didn't they?
I liked the Pies. I mean, they were good. It was a shame that the injuries happened.
Because, you be tipping them to beat the Bombers?
I don't think you can tip the Pies under any circumstances.
I'm not sure you can. The Bombers after watching them against
Brisbane. I didn't see that game.
Oh,
so,
Jared.
I did see them the week before.
They were horrific against Brisbane.
Well, that means that's good tipping form. Go against the stinker the week before. The trouble is,
something like 113 uncontested marks in the wet or something.
Well, they obviously didn't bring the energy at all.
So, and Joe was good?
Well, Joe had Joe's best game for a long period of time. And I think it's a good decision. Take some heat off Joe.
Yep.
Stick him in the ruck.
Yeah, he looked free.
He would have, and he'd probably end up fixing up his goal kicking simply by not making his whole world about
goal kicking.
Goal kicking. So,
it's funny how that works.
It is. And, you know, Joe, I think, was always in their mind as a second ruckman. But I'll give you the numbers. It was his second highest. He was the second highest rated player on the ground. He spent 35 minutes only in the ruck. Career high disposals. Second most metres gained in his career.
Jeez.
And a career high intercept possession. So they've got themselves a second ruckman. Hopefully they can find themselves
A-grade,
he couldn't go forward and do what Joe can do at his best. Just got to sort that kicking out, and then Joe will be Joe.
A little bit of news around, and then I want to ask you one final question before the break, Jared. Franklin, as we mentioned at the top of the show, going to miss the next 3 to 4 matches. He's got bone bruising sustained during that game over the Giants. You and I are both too gutless to tip GWS.
It looked to me like a PCL.
Yep. Tom Hickey's got a PCL. He's going to miss 6 to 8.
Yeah, that was a real PCL.
Yep. Chris Scott saying that Jeremy Cameron will make his eagerly awaited debut against the Eagles. Mm-hmm. That's Friday night. Big game down at the Cattery.
It's a huge game, actually.
Yeah, okay. Right, happy to go with that. Huge. I tell you what, two more points of news.
Yes.
One is, I can't believe that news outlets are going with this, trying to steal Richo's thunder from almost a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I read today in the paper, I read this part. There could be another Rioli ban for the AFL in the coming weeks, with Richmond youngster Morris Rioli closing in on a shock senior debut. I mean, hello?
I read that and I immediately thought of Yes, No, Richo 2 weeks ago.
Is everyone listening to Yes, No and just waiting 5 days and then writing it?
7-day latent period and then claiming it as their own.
And you know what they'll say? They'll go, no, we're writing because he was good in the VFL in the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, please, Richo's saying this before anyone even thinks of it. And finally.
Is there another one?
News item adds question to you, Jared. Melbourne is facing a selection squeeze.
I read that
for
today.
Anzac Day Eve.
Yep.
Ben Brown, Sam Wiedemann. Wiedemann kicked 7 in the twos on the weekend. Fit to play. And Fritch and May even a chance of returning. So I don't necessarily need you to give me the outs, Jared. But of those four, if they're all fit, who plays?
I'll give you the ins and the outs.
Okay, sure.
May would come straight back in.
Straight back in.
Fritch would come straight back in.
Yep.
And that's it. No Ben Brown.
I beg your pardon?
No Ben Brown.
What about Wiedemann kicks
No seven? Wiedemann.
Oh.
The game is not in their...
Score review!
No. Once you've lost your spot and you haven't done enough to be an automatic replacement, you've got to win it back. And sometimes, you've just got to wait.
So Ben's not automatic?
There's no way known Ben's automatic. Why would you change? Why would you change the chemistry that they've got at the present time? Even Mitch Brown. He looked fantastic. I've always thought Mitch Brown was an underrated or underutilized resource.
So have I, but...
Now, he's had plenty of goes.
He has to go out for Fritch if Fritch is coming
in. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
So he's out, unfortunately, and that's the toughness of selection.
Just brutal. Come in, kick three, see you later.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the case.
Yep.
No, and I'd bring in Ben Brown. Why would you risk your chemistry when the club is now playing the best footy it's played?
Gee, I wish you were this strong in the first hour.
Well, you didn't ask me the question.
Well, I should have.
Well, I'm happy to go back and redo the first hour if you like.
Have to go back with Lloydy.
Why? Who are you going to drop? You're going to drop Tom McDonald?
No.
Well, then who's coming in?
I hadn't thought about it.
I just don't see how you... I mean, if one of the tall blokes was Crook...
I'd find a way to get Wiedemann in.
No, maybe. Then all of a sudden they're too tall. You're playing against one of the quickest moving sides in the game. And unless they go in and say, okay, we're going to play more tools and change their whole structure, then I think they're going to have to miss out.
This week's Furphy unbelievable moment will give to the Giants 2-point victory over the Swans. The Furphy crisp lager is easy drinking and it is unbelievable. And we were unbelievable because Jared and I both thought that the Giants would win that game. And we both tipped Sydney. Harry Taylor was back in Geelong for a lap of water yesterday. Or did you change your tip?
No, I didn't. How many push in the backs do you think weren't paid on the weekend?
Across the 9 games?
In the back, in the marking duel. I just noticed Tom McDonald got pushed out there. Jeez, he's a good kid. What about Cozzy? He just continues to play ball, doesn't he?
He's something else. Harry Taylor, join us next. You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for the all-new Kia Carnival, Australia's first GUV, and across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. It was sort of an odd feeling at turning on the TV and seeing Harry Taylor... in a car, Jared, going around the outside of
it was
Cadinia Park. Because I'm just thinking to myself, I'm not sure I saw Harry Taylor across his illustrious career head on the other side of the boundary line too many times. I mean, the closest he came to the boundary line was, you know, spoiling the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as though he was coming to the pine any time. You wouldn't put Harry on the bench.
No, he was never on the bench. He joins us on the line. Harry, are you giddy after the celebratory lap of honour? And this is the second time we've done it. Congratulations on a magnificent career.
It was a bit strange, and you're right. I think I 280 games. I'm not sure how many of them were at Geelong, but I think from my records, I only missed about 4 games ever. At the Geelong Football Club, out of the ones that I had, you know, available to play there. So it was a little bit foreign, you know, not actually being out there watching the boys. And when the first quarter was happening, I was like, gee, I wish I could do something about this. But, just a great honour to be able to, you know, go around and see a lot of great people who have supported me throughout my career. I actually hadn't been back to Geelong since leaving Queensland after last year in the hub. So great to catch up with some people again, and certainly to do it with Gary Ablett was something that was very, very special.
And Harry, of those 280 games, how many minutes would you have spent on the bench, do you think? Somewhere between 0 and 10?
Yeah, there wasn't a lot. It was usually sort of 96 to 100% game time. I remember Brenton Sanderson, one of my early coaches, he said 1 year, this is going back a few years now, in his time, he played 100% of every single game for the year. Didn't come off the ground once. Which was pretty remarkable. I at least got a spell every now and again, so I shouldn't be complaining too much.
How many games did you have played in the midfield, Jared, and basically never have come off?
Oh, a lot.
Really?
Yeah. No, we used to rest.
So you just rest forward?
And rest then... in the forward pocket, but even that, we didn't rest too often. Just move around and just recover on the jog back to wherever we think the ball was
so
going.
So would you have done similar amount of Ks to what a modern-day midfielder would do now?
More.
Yeah, because you weren't spending time on the bench.
And also doing, I mean, we're doing much less ballistic running. I mean, I can only go on the feedback that we were given by our science guys, and they were saying we're running about between 18 and 20 Ks a game, but they were, you know.
The good ones now are running, what, 15, 16?
Oh, I think they're more like 12 to 14, but it's high-intensity stuff. So it'd be probably much harder to do the high-intensity stuff than to do the, I'd have to check with Andrew Gaff. Andrew Gaff, I reckon, runs like, we used to run, and that is like you're doing a sort of a half marathon. So you're not doing full speed a lot, but you're getting down into defence and you're running forward, etc. Speaking of which, Harry, some things became blatantly obvious when somebody leaves. And right now you were clearly the magician that made everything work well as far as ball movement.
Oh,
because
yes.
Ball movement right now is the capacity to go from D50 to F50 and through the goals in particular. It's that bit of magic has lost since you left.
Well, I'd like to be able to say it was because of me, but if anyone has watched the Cats over the last few years, it's certainly not the case. I wasn't all that great with ball in hand. Someone who was Matty Scarlett. He was phenomenal as a defender in terms of changing the game from defence to attack and very quickly. So, I mean, I'm sure he'd be pretty frustrated as a current defensive coach with the Cats, but It is probably just something we're struggling a little bit with at the minute. Certainly something I'm sure the coaches are spending a lot of time trying to work out and the players themselves as well. But who knows? Hopefully over the next few weeks, the boys can start to sort of work out a little bit of fluency. I must admit, we weren't actually hitting our foot all that well yesterday for some reason. Whether the balls were a bit flat or something wasn't quite right. But hopefully we can get that going over the next few weeks.
Can I ask you a question just from your experience? You played in a very dominant era, in fact, a couple of dominant eras, and you would have had guys in the seconds pushing up, coming up, playing well, and then going out again because somebody of your ilk or, say, Gary Ablett or Dangerfield or whoever it was had to come back in. Now, Melbourne are faced with this issue. Tom McDonald, I'm watching the third quarter as we speak on Fox Footy, he's been the best forward on the ground. And yet, because Ben Brown is ready to go, the high-priced recruit, and because Wiedemann kicks 7 goals in the reserves, all of a sudden there's this heat coming that they've got to push them in somehow. Now, would you change the formula and the chemistry of Melbourne just because guys are playing well in the twos?
Yeah, it's a great question. And certainly something from a coach philosophical point of view would be something you'd have to spend a bit of time on. My point of view I wouldn't change it. I would keep rewarding the guy who's playing really well. And, you know, I've got that on the background on the TV too. And I think he's been fantastic in this game and certainly been pretty good throughout most of this season so far. But we, you know, talk about dominant eras that I played in. We had a couple of guys. Shannon Burns was a really good example.
Yep.
Was a premiership player and a fantastic player for us, but was just always on the edge and couldn't quite break into the team for long periods. Obviously, I had Stevie J and Chapman there and Gary Ablett Jr., so very difficult to break in, but would go back and, you know, kick 3 or 4 in the reserves, have 30 touches and play well, but we just couldn't quite find a way to squeeze him in. And we had other great players at that time who just couldn't find their way back in because for us it was about just the chemistry with the team and the players we had in there at the time.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch. It was a big game coming up, Anzac Day Eve, and they're desperate, I'm sure, to get Wiedemann back. I think Wiedemann may be the best of the three of them. But
I'm finding a way to get him in.
but you're not finding a way to get him in without dropping somebody who doesn't deserve to be dropped. And therein lies the big challenge.
Mm.
So,
going to find someone.
Yeah, well, it's probably the guy that kicked three goals.
Yeah, no, but I'm bringing Fritsch back in.
You're bringing Fritsch back in. So therefore, okay, Harry, we've solved this. Melbourne at the moment have got two key forwards in the reserves, and one of them I reckon will be at another club at some stage because you just can't keep all of them together and a couple of them out.
Yeah, it's so tough because you do want, you know, particularly prize recruits, as you said, players you've actually recruited for a reason, for a job to do. You've probably given them some sort of promise, I guess, in the recruiting process. You've sat them down over a wine or a dinner or something and said, look, we want you on our team. You're going to play a lot of games for us. And then suddenly you're playing well in the VFL and you can't get into the team. It's probably, you know, going to question your integrity a little bit at times. Mm. But all these difficult conversations, I think, are part of being a great coach and part of being a great manager of people, because there's some really hard conversations that need to be had at AFL level. You just need to work out how best to have them without sort of disrupting a player's, you know, long-term future and certainly the team's short-term future.
So you're missing it, Harry?
Yeah, I am. I certainly am at times. I wake up some days and, you know, wish I was still out there running around with the boys and being able to help on field and, you know, help do some of the things that I love doing off-field as well. Sam DeConning plays his first game.
Yeah.
Would have been great to sort of be able to help him through the week. He was pretty nervous and, yeah, probably found it a little bit difficult to kick the goal ball through the big stick at times, but would have been great there to be with him sort of throughout the week. And then there's other days where I wake up and I'm sort of pretty content that I'm doing something different because, you know, mentally you think you're still okay, but physically I saw Jeremy Cameron up close at one of the sort of practice or the training sessions before the weekend, and he moves a hell of a lot better than I do, and I'm very fortunate I don't have to play on those sort of guys anymore.
So, Harry, we're not going to do a Cade Simpson and put your hand up for the mid-season draft?
No, I'm pretty happy at the moment, mate. I'm playing a few games for my old club, Northampton, who we unfortunately copped a bit of a cyclone recently and lost our goalpost. So, got a bit of work to do to get all that right, but I'm pretty content just having a run around there at the moment.
Gee, how would you be playing in that league, Jared, just rocking up to play Northampton one day and starting on Harry Taylor?
Well, that would be a bit of a problem. That would be a bit of a problem.
You think, oh, I didn't sign
up. Are you playing forward or you're playing back, Harry? Because normally half backs, normally star backs end up playing forward when they go into retirement.
Yeah, well, hopefully, I'm watching Josh Kennedy from West Coast form pretty closely because he's told me he's going to be coming back at some point as well. So, He's had some really good weeks, probably a little bit quieter last week, but I think overall he's had a sensational start to the season. So keeping a bit of an eye on where he's going to end up, hopefully in a couple of years with the Rams. But it's funny, it's local footy's a bit like it probably was in your day, Jared.
Yep.
People are very much man on man. So if you're, you know, 50, 60 metres away from the ball, you stand next to your opponent. If they go to the canteen, you go with them. So I'm a bit more proactive as a defender these days.
All right.
I tend to probably just go where I think the ball's going to end up. A bit more McGovern-like,
okay.
If that makes sense.
I like it. Now, tell me this.
Did Harry just compare himself to McGovern when McGovern really only became McGovern because of Harry? I mean, Harry started the McGovern position, Jerry.
I think he's being self-deprecating.
He's too humble.
I thought he was being self-deprecating. I let it go through to the keeper because I've got a question for Harry before he leaves us. My gut feeling, my memory, and it's fading very rapidly, I've got to say, Harry, is that a great Carlton halfback emanated from Northampton. Or how do you pronounce it?
Yeah, that's it, Northampton, that's it.
It may have been Northam, but Ken Hunter.
Ken Hunter.
I reckon Hunter came from that way. Now, where's Northampton?
Yeah. So Northampton is 400 sort of 80 kilometres north of Perth.
Yeah, so you're in your Geraldton sort of area?
Yep, just north of Geraldton. So some of the more recent players, Patrick Cripps from Carlton.
Yeah, Cripper.
Jamie Cripps from West Coast.
Yeah.
Josh Kennedy, myself, Liam Anthony played for North Melbourne. We have Paul Hazelby, Frio.
Yep.
Daniel Chick.
Chicky, yep.
And going right back to Andrew Lockyer,
Okay.
who used to play for West Coast. Yep. So I haven't actually heard of Ken Hunter, but I certainly know he's from WA.
I reckon it must be Northern.
Played his senior footy with Claremont.
Yep. Where'd he come from?
I think he played his junior football.
Yes.
With Northampton.
Well, there you go.
I reckon. It's Northern or Northampton, I think.
No, sorry. I tell a lie. This is Paddy Cripps talking about Ken Hunter. Cripps said he always wore number 9 in the juniors playing for Northampton Junior Footy Club.
There's got to be a link there. There's got to be a link.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to the bottom of it, Harry, but we won't hold you any longer.
No, I'm happy for you to. Yeah, I think they did, you know, some recent surveys and whatever studies and whatnot, and it's one of the highest sort of, what's the word I'm looking
productive
for?
Productive areas?
Yeah, they produce the most footballers per capita.
So the Northampton Footy Factory.
Yeah, that's it. There's only pubs there and a football oval, and there's not much else to do. And when you're under 18, you can't go to the pub, so you end up kicking the footy around quite a bit.
Okay, well, I'm still trying to work out where he's from. Is there a lot of mentions for Western Australia? The Australian football, blah, blah, blah.
We'll work it out, Harry. Great to have you on.
No worries at all. Thanks, guys.
I'll text you when I find out, Harry.
Thanks, Jared.
Harry Taylor there, the great Harry Taylor. Great to see him going around with Harry. With Gary. Gary and Hattie. And that was all for Club Mandalay. The must-play golf course in Melbourne's north.
Well, this is really annoying me. Really annoying me.
We're going to speak to Craig Starcevich next, Jared.
Oh, good.
He is now a premiership coach. He's done it the hard way, but I reckon it was all the more sweeter.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Red Energy, owned by Snowy Hydro, a renewable energy leader, and across Tasmania for Wilson Homes, believing in great design, so you love being home. I'm not sure there was anybody in Australia outside of the most diehard Adelaide Crows fans that were probably not on the Brisbane Lions bandwagon in the AFLW Grand Final. Craig Starcevich is their coach. He's been there through thick and thin, and there's been a fair bit of thin by way of pain from grand finals before.
Pretty amazing story, isn't
it? Mentioned the thick. He got the thick, and he had to rebuild the club a couple of times, decimated by expansion when they all went down to the Gold Coast, decimated by big money from Melbourne coming and taking a couple of his stars.
Well, I mean, the quick version of it is they lost 2 grand finals, and then North Melbourne Geelong really robbed them of a lot of their talent. I mean,
but not enough of their talent. Because
Jamie Stanton, Caitlin Ashmore, I think Britt Gibson was another one, and yet they're premiers. It's quite phenomenal.
We're only talking about the now, and Craig Starcevich, who I believe is walking along a beach, just reminiscing about every moment over the weekend.
Surely he's got a beer in his hand.
Joins us on the line. Craig, congratulations. The whole footy world was thrilled that you got your just desserts, and I hope you enjoyed supping from the chalice of great success.
Thanks, boys. Yeah, it was a fantastic night, Saturday night, that's for sure. Just to, there's nothing better than Saturday night after a grand final win, that's for sure.
Can I ask you how you did celebrate? A couple of the commentators said it's going to be a big night in Hindy Street. I would have thought you'd be on a plane straight back to Brisbane.
No, we hung around.
Okay.
Spent some time together at a little bar close to the place we were staying. It was fantastic. Clark Keating, my midfield coach, was best on ground. He got the gold medal that night. So, well done, Crackers.
I was actually reminiscing when I saw Clark Keating. We were talking about him because the myth when Clark Keating was playing for the Brisbane Lions is he just emerged from the Glasshouse Mountains where he went for about 6 months every year. And around finals time, he'd be back and he'd come back and lead them to premierships. And he's a good one to have around because where he goes, premierships follow.
It does. And the girls are now calling him Mr. April, not Mr. September.
Right.
Craig, I was texting Jared on the weekend during the game when Courtney Hodder kicked her second goal, that sort of half fly kick, Jared, that was more of a soccer star than anything. I mean, the first goal of the game was amazing. Then she kicks that. It just got me thinking, Craig, about how grand finals can throw in weird, magnificent moments. I mean, Courtney, just correct me if I'm wrong here, I reckon she touched the footy once in the prelim.
She had a quiet game in the prelim, but the good thing about Courtney is that it's not just measured on offensive stuff. Her defensive side of the game in that half of the ground is absolutely exceptional. And I'm saying all footballers at the moment, there wouldn't be a better small forward in the game who pressures and is offensively dangerous as well. So she was absolutely phenomenal. And we we try not to barrack in the box, but the three of us up there, when she kicked that one, just let out this primal roar, you know, as if you were a supporter. So it was just phenomenal. We've seen her do some phenomenal things this year, but that one was out of the box.
So very few people get to experience what you experienced when there was 90 seconds of play remaining, you were about three goals up, and it looked as if it had dawned on you that no one can take it away from you now. You've achieved it. You've climbed the mountain with the girls, and you've done what you've set out to do, and you've reversed the pain of the last two grand finals.
Yeah, it was nice. I did have the Lee Matthews equation running around in my head. So I've spent a lot of my adult life around Lee, so that was firmly in there until Crackers, who also has that running around in his head, said, go, mate, off you go. So 90 seconds to go, and I told him I loved him and then took off. So,
oh, lovely. Yeah. A bit of man love in the Premiership box. It probably is something you're going to remember for the rest of your day. Tell us about the game itself, how you thought it, you know, how'd you go into it? What planning did you have? Oh, clearly, Erin Phillips was pivotal, stopping her. But outside of that, what else were you trying to achieve that you sought out, that you actually did?
Yeah, well, the last time we played him in round four, Erin had a day out and had 20 touches and kicked four. So clearly she was front of mind in terms of curtailing. So Bree Conan was going to take her when she came forward. One of our mids would look after her in the middle for the time being. But she spends 90% of the game forward these days. But she's bloody dangerous. She does things that other players in the comp can't do. So fantastic that Bree was able to cut off the angles a little bit, intercept Mark herself and be one of our most influential players. And then in the middle of the ground, we had a handful there with either Marinoff or Hatchard as to who do we sort of limit there, because they're both going to get their hands on it, but it's just a case of, you know, how often and how destructive they are. So Kathy Spark, one of our good gun midfielders, who plays run-width roles but gets a fair bit of the ball herself and can be quite damaging offensively. We just have to find the right match-up for her.
Hey, Craig, can I ask you what you were thinking when Chelsea Randall was ruled out? I mean, a lot of the conversation was around the emotion of it, Jared. You know, like, such an important player, but also, you know, missing out due to concussion was just so heartbreaking for her. But how was the opposition coach feeling?
Well, honestly, when you hear something about an opposition gun player who may not play, your first thought is, geez, that helps. But then as the week unfolded, and, you know, we all sort of know Chelsea through her being such a prominent player.
Yep.
And she's such a bloody lovely human as well. So for her to dip out on their most important game was, you know, you can definitely empathise with the heartbreak that she had. And also Doc Clark losing one of his gun players. But Chelsea's reaction afterwards and the message that she was sending through to not only other AFL players, but all the junior AFL players in terms of how important it is to respect this new protocol that we've got and the dangers of concussion, that message was profound and strong, and that'll last a lot longer than our grand final win, I can assure you.
And I guess, and I think everyone concurs and supports your thoughts, and I thought you enunciated it beautifully, but the big question ultimately for the structure of the competition is, do we put a buy-in before the grand final? I don't know a grand final where there's not a heartbreaking story.
Exactly right.
I must admit, I'm not a huge fan of the buy, even between finals. I think that's worked out statistically to be a disadvantage for the clubs that have earned the honour of a break at the after the first round, and you know, I don't see any real case or strong enough case to put a bye, which gives a 2 week break between the prelims and the grand final.
It's similar to, I mean, it's any other injury that keeps a player out
That
game, isn't it?
Yep.
So you know, from that point of view, I know Fakes has got a view on what happened to the Lions boys last year in terms of the pre-finals bye, and then you have your great win in the qualifying final and you end up having another week off. So you're not fresh anymore, you're rusty. So that bit's certainly worth a bit of a further chat as far as the men's comp goes.
And you're not strong on the expansion. I mean, you're probably strong on the expansion, but you're not strong on the immediate expansion. I thought you You spoke with a lot of common sense, and a lot of people listened. So, Craig, you're now a premiership coach. You get a microphone, everybody sits back and listens, but ultimately you must be a fantastic guy to lead people on the footy field because of your great success. Have you got ambitions in the men's game by any chance?
Not particularly, Jared, to be honest. I'm really, really enjoying what we're doing here. We started blank canvas.
Yep.
And there's still a whole lot more to do. I mean, all of us love AFL footy. Some of us have daughters as well. So
yeah. I've got three of them.
The amount of interest. I know, going back to Crackers, he's got three daughters who are all playing footy at Main Footy Club in Brisbane. So, you know, and they're all at the impressionable age as well. So, you know, Nigel Lappin's got four daughters. So we've got a few lined up.
Okay.
Jason Ackermanis's 15-year-old is now in our Lions Academy.
Jeez.
So we've got you know, that part of footy, I reckon, is so exciting in terms of daughters of ex-players who could now start to you know, get games in these teams. Tarny Brown is a star already for Collingwood.
Yeah.
So if you had asked me 30 years ago whether I'd be coaching the daughter of one of my teammates, I would have said you're crazy. Yeah. So it's amazing how it's going. But I think that aspect of it, that's already special in men's footy, the father-son thing. But the father-daughter thing is the next little frontier, I reckon, when they all start to line up and become good players.
We're going to see another Acca. I bet she kicks on both feet. Craig, great to have you on. Congratulations from everyone here on Sports Day. So well-deserved, and enjoy the celebrations. I'm sure they'll kick on for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a good week. Thanks, guys.
Craig Starcevich there, the now premiership coach, the Brisbane Lions AFLW side. They did it the hard way. But boy, was it sweet, Jared. Boy, was it sweet.
Yeah, it was a good game, really. I think everybody was, it was a good news story, and everyone was excited to see them finally achieve the result. More Sports Day right after this.
You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy. Most satisfied customers 11 years in a row. That is Red Energy. And Wilson Holmes, earlier tonight, we spoke with Melbourne gun defender Jake Lever. He's having a good year. He joined us with Lloydie. Jake, the term selflessness has been used quite a lot by Melbourne players and coaches in interviews this year. I can only gauge from that there was some selfishness previously. Was that one of the things holding this talented group back?
Oh, look, I think selfishness is a really harsh word. I think it was more on the fact that, you know, I speak about this a lot, and I think the club has it. It was more, you know, as an individual, say, for instance, I think that in games, sometimes bigger players and you know, you think that you might have to be the saviour of every game. And you talk about, it's very similar, you talk about the likes of Max Gawn, Christian Petrarca, Jack Viney. These guys have had to hold up the footy club in previous years for nearly every game, and they have to come and they have to be the saviour. And I think that the selfishness kind of come from that, in terms of thinking that you have to be the one to, you know, win the ball three or four times to be able to score. But I think that what it's become is role-playing is one, just allowing everyone to play their role. But actually, you know, you talk about Christian Petrarca, Clayton Oliver, Jack Viney, Angus Brayshaw, these type of guys, they're big names. But at the minute, you can see that they're enjoying each other's successes when it comes. And I think that's where the selflessness comes from. I think the selfishness that you talk about was purely based on the fact for wanting to do the team thing, but it really wasn't working like that. It was going in the opposite direction. It was going away from your role, trying to think that you have to be the one to win the contested possession, or take this, you know, for Maxi, go back, take this big mark, or is it now?
That does it for us tonight. Jared, on the couch tonight, we're having a look at what the Blues and the Saints.
Yeah, the Blues are getting a run, the Saints, a bit of Bulldogs vision. And we're going to welcome our first guest for the year.
Oh.
We don't do many guests these days.
We allowed to know?
Yeah, you can have a guest. Who playing 300 games on the weekend.
Nate Jones.
Nathan Jones is going to bring his surfboards in and show us how it's done.
Love it. That's The Couch, 8:30 on Fox. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.